Welcome to Hype, episode 191. We're back to talk about all the most recent entertainment news stories, television shows, movies, music, our real life fandom experiences, of which there are more than usual these days. So that should be a lot of fun. My name is Selena, and I'm joined as always by Pam. Hello.
Hello.
So I have been in LA and poor Pam has been sick.
so sick.
Which is terrible. And like retroactively send her all your best wishes. They worked. She's all better now. Yeah. Like magic.
There's honestly nothing worse than having a fever in like 95 degree weather.
Oh my God. Yes.
It's a trip.
I can tell you though that having just been in LA, it's warmer in Denmark right now than it is where you live.
Oh, so
make of that what you will. Hashtag global warming.
Right? It's real.
It must be. Yeah, we're in a huge heat wave. And me and my brother went to LA. I'll tell you all about the trip in a bit. But we got there and we had packed all, shorts and tops. And I think we each had just one warm, long sleeved shirt because we were we might get cold when traveling. We got out at the airport. We were like, where did we put those shirts? And we had to buy sweaters and stuff. It was really strange. But aside from that, we had a good time.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty strange for LA. June gloom is definitely a real thing that happens in San Francisco.
We did not know that.
It's not so much in LA. LA is pretty warm for the most part, but they do kind of get foggy mornings. If you ever come to San Francisco and you're visiting in June or July or August specifically, or as we like to call it, foggist, please bring your layering clothes because it gets pretty cold and it doesn't start heating up until September, October. So if you're looking for heat in San Francisco, come in the fall. Don't expect it in the summertime.
See, that's so funny because I had no idea that this was true. And I am so confused that nobody has ever told you because you would think unless you're going to Australia, which is infamously the opposite because they have summer and winter and winter and summer. You would think that when you go somewhere in the summertime, that's when it's hottest,
Yeah.
I never considered that it would be, because no one ever said, no one ever talks about if you go to SoCal, which is so infamously warm, that it would be coldest in the summertime.
Yeah, it's a little bit more, they don't get as cold as we do, but we're down to 60 degrees overcast in June, July.
Wow.
Yeah. And then August, it's a little bit worse. And then it kind of just clears up. It's supposed to be 106 this weekend now that you're not here in LA, though.
We did have some final days of proper summer with clear skies. And we went to the beach and stuff like that. It was really nice.
What else did you do?
Well, we did a lot, but I was actually thinking that, we need to do the contact information first. I'm sorry, you guys, it's been a while. But I also think that you should give us your how we hypes first because I just ordered the doc and you have all the movie stories. So we should split
good.
It up like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like changing it up now. We're almost at 200. It's time to get creative. Anyway, before we get into how we hype, we just want to remind you of the contact information as always, because we love, love, love hearing from you lovely listeners. And we have quite a bit of feedback to get into at the end of the show. So that's what we get for accidentally taking a few weeks off. But we want more feedback all the time. You can tweet us at HypeableHype and you can email us hype@hypeable.com. Those are the primary ways of getting in contact with us. We also do have an Instagram that I remember every once in a while and post something. I did post some cool pictures there that I think one of them I haven't posted anywhere else. It's from a very special place. .. that I'm going to be talking about soon. That's Instagram is at HypeableHype as well. And we do have a Tumblr, which is hypepodcast.tumblr.com, which I think will primarily focus as our sort of secondary index of shows that we've done. So that's where we'll get it updated real soon. And then you can find all of our previous interviews and special episodes and all of that stuff. It's sort of easily arranged and accessible. You can, of course, also find our old shows and links to all the stories that we talk about this week on Hypeable itself, which is hypable.com. And we also want to just plug our Patreon here at the top of the show. The Patreon is a $2 a month subscription level. That's the only level we have. And for that, you get a bonus episode every week. Well, every week we do the show, which should be every week. And then you'll get a bonus episode. You also get a video from each of us a month, as well as extra bonus material. And we have been talking about this for a long time, so I just want to make sure that I say it, and I'll repeat this at the end of the show if I remember too. We've been talking about doing a giveaway for quite a while, and we had talked about off air, we had been talking about doing it around Comic-Con. So now that Comic-Con is rapidly approaching, we will be giving you guys the details of that giveaway. So in connection with us going to Comic-Con, we're going to be doing three giveaways. Two of them are going to be Patreon exclusive, so only for people who are on Patreon. And we want to leave one open for everyone to enter. So everyone who listens to the show, whether you're a patron or not, has a chance to win one of the three prizes. So we will be drawing like three names, and one of the spots can go to either someone who's a patron or someone who's not a patron. The other two are kept for patrons. So basically, if you're a patron, you have a higher chance of winning, and there will be three prizes altogether. It sounds confusing, but it won't be. Once I cut out all of the weird like discussion we just had about how it was going to work, it's going to seem really simple. So yeah, so we're going to be basically, they're going to take the format of like Comic-Con grab bags. So we want to, when we go to Comic-Con, you get a lot of merch and free stuff that is really cool. A lot of it is like unique to Comic-Con. It can be anything from books to autographs to prizes you win, like Funkos or something like that. And we want to gather some of that and give it to you guys.
So we're going to use Rafflecopter, I believe. Mm-hmm. We haven't, mm-hmm. I think that's the easiest way to do this. So it's going to be embedded. If you're on Patreon and you have access to your Patreon, it's going to be embedded on there. You can enter on there. We're also going to embed one into the show notes on hypeable.com for this episode. And it's just going to be a really easy way for you guys to enter if you're interested. And then also it's going to be an easy way for us to draw a name fairly.
Yeah.
I feel like we use Rafflecopter a lot on Hypeable anyway, so
yeah,
it's really straightforward.
Yes, and the reason we're announcing it so like a couple of weeks before Comic-Con is, first of all, we want to give you guys a chance, you know, some time to enter, and we also want to know who it is before we go, just so we get an idea of like what stuff to look out for. So we just want to, you know, give you guys some stuff. We don't know what's going to be in there yet, but there's going to be something fun, something random, something cool. We'll see. Hopefully you guys like this, and hopefully you will submit so you all have a chance to win, because not everyone can go to Comic-Con. Even if you do go, there's a lot of stuff there. And I know I'm not a huge merch person, so I think you guys will probably appreciate a lot of it a lot more than me. So I think this is a good idea. I hope you guys like it. And we'll have the Rafflecopter links on here and on Patreon, which is patreon.com/hypepodcast. Okay, that was a lot of like housekeeping here at the top of the show. So let's just move into how we hype and talk about what we've been doing in fandom this past week. And Pam, let's kick it off with some music recs.
Yeah, I've been listening to, surprise, surprise, a lot of music lately. And I have a few favorites from June that I wanted to just plug really quick because I've been enjoying them. The first one is Drake's new album, Scorpion, which just came out this past week. I really appreciated this album specifically from Drake because I feel like the lyrics and the prose is a little bit more self-aware than he normally is, which I think is cool. But more importantly, what I really liked is like it was a really good mix of half rap, half R&B, which is kind of cool because, you know, like Drake has either like rap songs or he does tend to put out the occasional like R&B ballad, and I think everybody's been kind of waiting for him to do a nice little blend of both on an album. And because Scorpion is so long, he was actually able to do this very well with this particular album. So that's kind of exciting if you're a Drake fan, and cool also if you like prefer one style of his music over the other. So just something to check out if you have not checked it out yet. So that's album rack number one. The other album that I've been super obsessed with is the debut album from Sophie called Oil of Every Pearls on Insides. This is definitely not going to be for everybody. Sophie is a Scottish-based DJ. That's kind of how she got her start. But her variation of pop music is, like, super experimental and, like, a little bit disorienting at times. And I just really appreciate artists like this because there's so many layers in terms of what goes into producing each track that it makes for like a really interesting, eye-opening and like kind of profound experience. And I just really love the way that she kind of blends all of these different sounds, including her voice, into her tracks and stuff. So it was just a really, really interesting listen. And if you like to listen to music that is really kind of like more out there than it is mainstream, then maybe some kind of experimental pop or like avant pop, which is a genre that gets thrown out a lot, is something maybe more your speed. And you should check out Sophie's Oil of Every Pearls on Insides. And then the last music thing that I wanted to recommend is actually just a single by Tessa Violet. She's been around for a really, really long time. Very active on YouTube, which is, and also like she used to be really active in the Harry Potter fandom. So I feel like I've been following her music journey for like a really, really long time. And she's been making music for years, very much on in the indie pop vein of things, which is really fun. But her new song Crush is like amazing. It's definitely the best thing probably that she's ever produced. And it's so catchy. It's such a bop. Like, put it on all your summer playlists. It's really great. And I think that this song specifically for her excites me because you can just tell that if it gets into the right hands and if it creates enough buzz and energy, it could totally be something that you could hear on the radio. And I really hope that this is like the springboard that she needs to just, you know, catapult to the next level in her career, because she's just really great. And this song is super fun. And also, like, congrats to her because the music video just hit over 1 million plays on YouTube. So that's really cool too. But yeah, the song is really great and I highly, highly recommend it. It's been on heavy rotation in my Spotify playlists and just like in general when I'm driving and stuff like that. It's really great. So yeah, those are like three little music recs for you guys that I've been enjoying this past month.
Awesome. And we'll put those in the doc for everyone. So my How We Hype this week is really exciting. I'm so excited to talk about this, and I'll try not to like go on for too long because it's going to like turn into a monologue real quick. But I had a really unique experience this past week or these past 2 weeks. I went to LA with my brother because we were originally going to attend the 100 Con that got canceled, which was pretty... It was sad, obviously. It was pretty sucky. I was going as press, and a bunch of people had bought tickets, and it kind of fell apart. And those people that had bought tickets lost their money, and there's some stuff going on with that right now that's like kind of a mess. We hadn't bought any tickets, but we did have our travel tickets that we could not get refunded. So we were like, you know what? We're like not going to waste those money. We're just going to go have a holiday. But then we were like, I was going to do a meetup there, you know, with some other The 100 fans, because a bunch of people were still going. And then Sachin Sahel, one of the actors from The 100 who plays Jackson, everyone's favorite Jackson, who is half of Maxon anyway. And what are they called? Like agents, the cast agents, so the convention agents that usually handle cast appearances. They decided to do like a more official meetup with some of the cast. And well, it was originally my idea, but they had the idea to go to Orlando, not Orlando, to Universal. I always call it Orlando, but it's Universal. And because we wanted to go to Harry Potter Land and have Butterbeer. And so that was like on the Saturday that we were there, we all met up. I know a bunch of the 100 fandom people. Like, I have a bunch of friends in that community at this point, so we were all going together. And me and my brother actually didn't have tickets to go to this because we didn't have tickets for the con. So we kind of just, like, tagged along with a couple of other people that weren't really technically allowed to go, but luckily we ended up being allowed to go anyway, so it was all good. And we had, like, we had a blast. Like, first of all, I got to go to Harry Potter Land, which was, like, a dream come true. That was, like, the best part, honestly. I got to see Hogwarts. Like, I don't know if you had... I'm sure you had the same experience if you've been, like, the first time that you go into the Harry Potter section and Hogwarts is, like, right there. And it's so beautiful. I came closer than I thought I would, which is, like...
Have I ever told you the story of what made me cry the first time I went to Harry Potter World?
No.
It's so funny because I just told this story on Millennial... We were talking about theme parks.
Oh.
So the first time I went was right when it opened in Orlando, in Universal Orlando. And the reason that we got to go is because we were at a Harry Potter convention and they had like a night thing that we could do. So our tickets for like the night event were good for like the whole day, basically from like 3 p.m. onwards. So we went early and it was me and like five of my friends, and we walked in and it was like, oh my God. And like that feeling of just like how well it's made and how realistic it feels and how like fully immersed it is so wonderful. And then I was walking by like the shops, like they have the mock storefronts of the shops. And I stopped in my tracks because in one of the window displays was a Mimbulus Mimbletonia, and I just started crying because in the book it's like that's not really a big deal, and I just feel like I associate that so much with like a subplot that was much bigger in the books than it was in the movies. And it just like hit me that the attention to detail and the care that was put into it was just like, it was so well done that I was so overcome with emotion, because that's the moment that I realized that even though obviously it's a money grab, it was definitely made with fans in mind, because there's so many little Easter eggs and you can just get lost in this world that you love so much. So yeah, I cried over Mimbulus Mimbletonia.
But you know what though? I feel like that is actually such a... I hadn't put that together, but that is such a good way to explain why it's so emotional to go there and why it feels so much more exciting than I had thought. Because I think that I had seen this, and in a lot of ways the studio tour in London is like this, even though obviously that's also very cool. But I had seen it as like an ode to the movies. You know, obviously because it's all the movie stuff, it's the movie actors, it's the movie props, like it is movie based. And I was like, well, you know, I like Harry Potter, but you know, the movies have never, like, they are not what is special about Harry Potter to me. And that's exactly what you said, is that you go there. First of all, seeing the castle is, like, overwhelming. Like, you cannot prepare for seeing the castle for the first time, and it looks to scale, and it's just amazing. But exactly, like, you turn, and all the little shops that are there, all the things, all the stuff that, like... And maybe it was in the background of the movie sets, like very possible, but just being able to go over there and look at it, like going into Sonko's joke shop. I went in, it was me and like obviously some other people, like we just ran in, and me and a girl called Alex, we kind of had like identical reactions. We were like, this is so much cooler than we ever thought. And we were like running around looking at all the things, and we like bolted into Sonko's, which is the first one. And we were just like,
yeah, and then they have, like, the extendable ears, and it's, like, there's so much that, like...
They have all the stuff.
And there's so much that they don't have to put in, but they did.
Yeah.
And it just, like...
And it's so unique as well. Like, that's, like, another thing. Like, even though the money, the stuff, obviously, like, you're right, it is a money grab. You can buy all the things. But it's so well made. Like, we were looking at a sweater, a house sweater. I didn't
buy the gray one?
Because it was... No, it was a like a real sweater, like a house sweater.
Like a knitted
one. It was like $100.
Wow.
But it was real wool. And we were like, they didn't have to make this of real wool. Like, of course it's $100. Like, that makes sense. It's like, it's really good quality, just unique merchandise that, you know, and all the candy they had, like most of it, I'd never seen it before. You know, it's nothing they have over here at all. And like, I feel like that's, obviously, I'm sure... In Disneyland, like they have unique merchandise in Disneyland as well. But like you kind of think, oh, well, you know, you can go into a Disney store and you can buy the Disney things that you want. But like for Harry Potter, I was like, well, I'm never gonna, like, it was really hard not to buy it all because I was like, I'm never gonna see this again.
Right.
But that was, it was so overwhelming. And we didn't even go in, you know, there's like the main street and then there's what I suppose is supposed to be Nocturne Alley. We didn't even go down there. We didn't have time. Mm-hmm. Like we just, honestly, we tried the Flight of the Hippogriff twice, which was fun. There was almost no line. And then we spent most of the time standing in line for Hogwarts, the experience.
But like,
ride.
How worth it is it once you get in there? Because there's so much
so
to
worth
see.
It. Well, yeah, well, the seeing, not so much, because we were, like, at that point, the line was, like, over an hour, and this is the part of the story that I have to sort of, you know, just really praise the people that put this together, because obviously at this point, the first time we ran in before, like, the actors had arrived, because we just wanted to see it, and then when the actors arrived, the people that came along were Sachin, obviously, and Jared Joseph, who plays Miller, and Lindsay Morgan, who plays Raven, and Tasha Tellis, who plays Echo, and then Richard Harmon, who plays Murphy, kind of came along halfway through the day. This was adorable, by the way, because he went over to like say hi to me, and then he like recognized my brother because my brother is a massive fan.
Oh my
of
god, your
Harmon.
Brother must have been so excited.
He was so excited. Oh my god, his face has never been redder. It was
oh
the most adorable
my
thing.
God. Don't you love how I'm excited because I know how much this means to him? Like,
yes, yeah, it was so pure.
He's like one of the best humans. He's so sweet.
Yeah, he is. But yeah, no, I didn't get any pictures with anyone because I'm like not a huge selfie person. But my brother did get a selfie with Richard, so that was nice. But yeah, so what they did was that they divided the fans into groups, and then one actor got to go with each group. So we were just so lucky because we were in the green group shouting green at each other all day, and we got to go with Sachin to Hogwarts. So we were like, it was like the win-win of everything. Also because he's like the massive fan of Harry Potter. And so when we stood in that line, we were like entertaining each other and we were playing the game, like, you know, where you have to like hold the thing up to your forehead
heads
and then
up.
The others have to like, yeah, heads up. And I was really good at it and I got a new record and I was like super proud. But yeah, so we entertained each other in that line. But once we got into the castle, it was moving so quickly and we hardly got to see anything. I would have loved to go back and just linger there. But the ride itself was amazing.
Isn't it so well done?
It's so well done. Mm-hmm. Like, again, it's like you don't expect it to be like genuinely good. I was like, well, you know, I actually thought it was going to be like a haunted house, but a Hogwarts. So you're going to like ride through slowly and like see scenes from the castle, which I would also have liked. But instead, like for anyone who doesn't know, and I had no idea, so maybe it's better if you don't know, but I'm going to tell you now anyway, is you get in, you sit in this thing, and then it moves you through as though you're flying on a broomstick through Hogwarts and like around Hogwarts, and it's so well done. So like it seems like you're plummeting for like 30 meters and rising again. You're going through the Quidditch pitch, you're going into the forest, and it feels like you're flying on a broomstick, and like you feels like you're flying on a broomstick around Hogwarts, and it's the most magical thing that I have ever happened to
like
me.
The actual like animatronics and special effects that they use in there are amazing. And it's been a few years since they built it, and it still looks great.
It looks so, so good. This is the best. Again, I had no expectation. I thought it was going to be great because it was Harry Potter. I did not expect it to be, like, genuinely great. And I felt so sad because I only got to try it once, and everyone else went again, and I didn't know because I was, like, in some shop or something. But, like, it's fine. I got to go once, so I'm not bitter about it. We also spent a little bit of time in Jurassic Park land, which was less exciting, I think. We stood in a very, very, very long line to the ride there. And we had Jared with us at that point because they shifted around. We didn't get to go with Lindsay or Tasha, but we did get to go with Jared. And that was good as well. It was no Hogwarts, but it was great. I mean, it's so amazing that those actors took the time. The con was canceled. They came
for,
as far
like,
as
the
I know,
whole day,
they paid
almost,
for
right?
it. Yeah, for the whole day.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And the people that organized it, obviously the people, the IDDS, I have to shout them out. They were IDDS management with Daniel and Lainey who do that. Like that's completely like class to an extent I never could have imagined. Like it's so interesting because I, like, if listeners of Hype know that I've kind of gone through a little bit of a reckoning with cons, you know, like, I didn't understand them. I didn't really see the appeal. I didn't go to them that much. And when I did, it wasn't fun. So I think that, like, just sort of, you hear so much about the entertainment industry. And so just the fact that they were like, okay, fans are in a really terrible situation right now. Let's do something for them. Like, let's just put a, like, unofficial con together and, like, hang out with them at a theme park was just, like, that does not happen in a lot of fandoms, I'm sure. And it speaks as well to, I think, like, I don't think all fandoms could do it safely for the actors. But it speaks to the fandom, too, that everyone was just there to have a good time and no one, like, mobbed them or made, I'm sure, like, they weren't threatened at any point or anything like that. Like, genuinely, we were just hanging out. And I think that is really special. So that was, like, amazing. So yay to them and yay to this experience and yay to Hogwarts. We also got to have dinner at the Three Broomsticks. And I got to have the Butterbeer and it was so good.
Did you like the frozen or the regular better?
I liked the hot one better, but I also liked the frozen. The hot one is really good. It really reminds me of, you know, like chai latte with sweet and with milk, not like the watery kind. It's kind of like that, I think. Like, vanilla chai latte is what I would compare it to. But I liked that. I thought that was really nice, really hot chocolate, but chai-ish and in like caramelly. It was really, really good. And honestly, the cold one was really good too. I really liked the way it kind of fizzled. We don't have cream soda here. So it was like a new experience for my taste buds. And I liked it.
Yeah. That's so cool. Oh, I'm so glad you had such a good time. And I know that every time we've talked about Wizarding World before, it's like a sore subject because you're like, I'm never going to go. But also like, why would I want to go? And then you went and it was amazing. And that's like all I hope for anybody that goes. I'm so converted. Yeah.
We had a listener, Chanel. She went a couple of months ago, I think in May, and she posted like an amazing picture in front of Gringotts. This must have been in Orlando because this does not look like what I saw. I want to go there too.
Orlando now has two parks.
Oh, two Harry Potter parks?
Yeah, so it's an expansion and you can take it from what I've heard. I haven't been and I really want to go back. You take the Hogwarts Express from Diagon Alley. No, I'm sorry, from Hogsmeade to Diagon Alley, and that's where
the
second part is with Gringotts. And I want to go so bad. I know.
Me too. I want to do all the stuff. but I try to keep my like souvenirs to a minimum. Like I got my four nieces and nephews, I got them Bertie Bott's beans and I got them like a little LA snow globe, but like nothing because they're not Harry Potter fans. So it felt kind of wasted on them. And I bought myself a chocolate frog, obviously. And I'm going to bring this to Comic-Con so you're going to see it. It's a Gryffindor clutch bag that is like the most amazing thing I'd ever seen in my life. Like I found it and it's so cool. I found it in the Madame Malkin's like the robe shop and it was just like tugged away in a corner and it wasn't in any of the other stores because you can kind of find the same merchandise and it's so cool. So I'm really excited about that one. And I got my mother a Ravenclaw hoodie that she really likes. So many cool things. And we went into Ollivander's as well, but we weren't chosen. It chose two guys. That was really sweet. I think they were like father and son. They were so skeptical. But like by the end of the presentation, they clearly believed in the magic, which was amazing.
That's also really well done, too.
Yes.
As like an experience.
It was. I'm glad we went there. Yeah. Okay, so that was the first part of my trip. And I know we're like running along, but like you guys, this was so exciting. So when we were in LA, I had obviously tweeted a little bit about being in LA. And then I got like a message saying from someone saying, hey, do you want to go visit the 100 writers room? And I was like, yes. And it was originally supposed to happen on the Monday. I left Tuesday night and they were like, okay, we were scheduling it for Monday. And it was Jason Rothenberg who invited me to go, the showrunner, like wanted me to go because I was in LA. It was like, it was such a complete, just, I was like shook for lack of a better word. I had never in a million years expected that they would invite me there. Like, they invite almost nobody there. Like, this is a huge honor. And I was so thrilled. So I was originally going to go on the Monday. And then they were like, we're not in the office Monday anymore. Can you do Tuesday? And I was like, yes, I will move heaven and earth to make this happen. But I didn't have to because it was in the early part of the day. So I went. And I actually went on one of those scooters that they now have in Santa Monica, because we were staying out in Santa Monica. And I don't know if you've seen them, but they've like put up scooters everywhere, like really recently. And you can like ride on them for like 15 cents a minute. So it ended up being kind of expensive, but it was also fun because it was a scooter. And I went there to the writer's room and I just kind of got to hang out with the writers for like an hour, you know. It was their lunchtime, so they just sat and had lunch, and I sat and watched them eat lunch. I could have had lunch, but I'd already had lunch, so they weren't starving me. And we talked. Like, there were a bunch of writers that some of them I didn't know, because it's a new season, it's a new writer's room, and obviously, like, they haven't announced yet who is and is not. Well, they have announced who is not in the writer's room, but they haven't announced who is. But I got to meet some of them, and they were so nice and so just like, we just had a conversation. Like, I should make it very clear that I'm not in on the season six secrets at all. I don't know anything. They gave me a tour and they made me look at the floor because they didn't want me to see what was on the walls. But I went into Jason's office and I did get to hold the baton, you know, the bottle, the baton from the arc, and I got to hold the flame. So I thought that was really cool. And I got to just like hang out with them. And we talked a little bit about fandom. We talked a little bit about, you know, just the new writers and like where they came from and stuff like that. And it was so just amazing to have gone and see where they work and where they make the show. And everyone was like, I've said this a million times, but it like needs to be said how nice they all were and how welcoming they were. And I can't believe that I've like actually been in the 100 writers room. It's like kind of amazing, you know. I still think it didn't really happen. So I had to take a picture. I had to ask one of the writers to take a picture of me in there, because I was like, I just need some kind of proof that I didn't dream it. So that was a good trip. The end.
That sounds like so much fun. I love that. Yeah. And I love that you got to go, because, you know, one, like you said, they really don't let people in there, but also just because you're not out here often,
right?
Enough to even like take advantage of the last minute, you know, opportunity. So that was really great. I was so happy when I saw that you were there.
I know. Yeah, I don't have words. It was just so, so incredible and so nice as well, like to just hang out with them without having to have it be for an interview, you know, without having to focus on work, because usually when I do speak to them, it is in the context of something that we have to do. So this was just, obviously they had to work, but I didn't have to work. I just got to hang out and just speak to them as people and just sort of hear a bit of, you know, we talked about like restaurants and things. It was good. So half an hour into the show, 40 minutes into the show, we should probably actually get started on the show, but I did want to just talk about the trip a little bit, just because it so rarely happens. And I hope that you enjoyed my little recap summary of all that. So moving into the news, I'm going to give the stand to Pam, because we divided it up this week by accident so that she has all the movie news and I have all the TV news. So I'm going to let you speak for a while. Rest my voice.
So we have a little bit of superhero news. Superhero news to kick things off this week. Sony has actually revealed that they are looking into adapting the comic book Faith, and they have tapped Maria Melnick to write the script for the upcoming superhero movie. Now, I actually haven't read any of these comic books, but the reason that this caught my eye, which I thought was really cool, is that when this comes to fruition, it'll actually be the first plus-size superhero if they're true to the plot of the comic book, which I don't know how they couldn't be, because Faith, who's the main character, is a plus-size woman. And this is a pretty big deal, because superhero movies are really great, and we've seen a lot of, well, not a lot, but we've seen a little bit of representation in terms of like race and gender, and they're doing a lot more to bring female superheroes to the forefront of the big screen with Wonder Woman and also Captain Marvel coming up. But body inclusivity and body image inclusivity and positivity is something that really hasn't broken through into this genre that's so big in particular. So I just think it's like really great for a variety of reasons. The cool news is that Faith is not necessarily a person that's defined by what she looks like. Her body isn't the only thing that makes her unique. She's a hero that manages to avoid the stereotypical superhero broodiness, and she's pretty happy and upbeat. So that's kind of cool too, because you're not getting more of that grumpy, I have powers, but my life sucks type of narrative. Her superpowers are the power of flight and telekinesis. So that's kind of cool too. So I'm curious to see what they do with this for sure. And Maria Melnick, who again is going to be penning the script for this, is actually a writer over on American Gods. So if you've been enjoying that adaptation, then you know it's a little bit more from a voice that helps bring that to life.
Yeah, I'm excited about this. It's early, but it's different. It's in a good way. This is cool. I don't know anything about it except, but it caught my attention. It's kind of, when you think Faith, the first thing I always think is Faith from Buffy. So it always, like, I have to, like, adjust my brain for, like, half a second before I know what we're talking about, but.
Yes, I get that for sure. Yeah, like you, I don't really know very much about this, but I just think it's really, you know, all inclusivity and all variation from the norm is kind of, like, a good thing, especially in Hollywood. So it's really great. Let us know if you are familiar with the comic book series, by the way. You can reach us at all of the contact information that Selena listed at the beginning of the show a very, very long time ago.
Yes.
Moving on, we have a little bit more movie news for you guys. The first trailer for The Hate U Give, the highly anticipated adaptation of Angie Thomas's novel of the same name, has officially been released since we last recorded. I don't know if you've had a chance to see this trailer, but it's so, so good. And like the book is just kind of one of those books that you read that sticks with you, like the story sticks with you for so long. For those of you guys that don't know or need a little bit of a refresher, this is the book that's based around the Black Lives Matter movement. It centers on a girl named Star, who's a teenager who lives in a predominantly Black neighborhood but attends a very affluent, predominantly white high school. So she's living this double life and kind of going back and forth between these two worlds. And one day when she's coming home from a party in the neighborhood she grew up in, her and her best friend get pulled over and he gets shot by the policeman that pulls them over for a broken taillight. So from there, she kind of learns or has to learn how to find her voice and speak her truth so that she can, you know, bring justice to the memory of her friend and do what she thinks is right in her heart. This movie comes out on October 19th, and the trailer, again, just is so, so good, and it looks like it's a very true adaptation. So if you haven't checked that out, head over to HiBibble.com, and you can watch the full trailer right now.
I'm so excited for this. It looks so good. I read the book, obviously, a few months ago on your recommendation, and it was so powerful. And she looks so different now. Like, we remember her from The Hunger Games.
She's not Baby Rue anymore.
Yeah.
Amandla Stenberg is all grown
Stenberg,
up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last little piece of news is one that took the internet by storm when this was announced earlier this week. I think that most people, maybe, I don't know. I thought this was maybe one of those things that was going to be an American thing, but I confirmed with Selena. It turns out she's read the book. Greta Gerwig, who of course brought us Lady Bird last year, has set her sights on Little Women for her next directorial endeavor. She's going to be adapting the book made famous by the author, of course, Louisa May Alcott. This is a story that has been adapted time and time again over the course of the past few decades. Most recently, the BBC or Masterpiece Theater, if you're out here in the United States like I am, did a three-part miniseries of this book. There was, of course, the iconic 90s adaptation starring the likes of Susan Sarandon, Winona Ryder, Claire Danes, Kirsten Dunst, Christian Bale. Oh my gosh, Little Women is so great, and it's just such a beautiful story about coming of age and like the loss of childhood and what it's like to be a girl growing up in the 1800s in the United States. And it's just full of unforgettable characters, so beloved. And Greta Gerwig actually has potentially an amazing group of cast members that could be helping her bring this to life. According to Variety, she's looking to bring back Lady Bird alums Saoirse Ronan and Timothée Chalamet. And it's rumored that this adaptation will also star Emma Stone and Meryl Streep. So there's going to be a lot of heavy hitters involved if all of these people get cast. And honestly,
it's so
like,
wild.
I know. This is like the best of all worlds, maybe.
Yes. This is so interesting. This is like all big, like cult sort of beloved personalities, isn't it?
I know. I mean, the real question here is like, obviously Meryl would play Marmee. Yes. But like, who would
who are the women? Yeah, little women.
It would make sense for Saoirse and Timothy to play Laurie and Joe.
Yeah, and I think that fits too with who they are as characters. Yeah.
So then Emma might be May because... Mm-hmm. Yeah. According to Variety, they also revealed that...
Emma Stone is supposedly up for the role of Beth, actually.
Yeah, which is kind of interesting because I think Beth and Amy are the younger of the four March sisters.
Yeah.
So they'll have to get somebody... I mean, everybody is around the same age in Hollywood and then end up just playing younger. I was going to say they're going to have to get someone older to play May, but maybe not.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
You said you read this book in when you were in grade school, right?
I did. I actually, yeah, and I only read the abridged version. It was, I think, one of the first English books we read in like fifth grade. So we'd have been like 11, I think. And I remember very little of it other than the fact that it broke my heart. So I had no inclination to ever watch the movie or anything.
Oh my gosh.
But like... I'm sure, like, with this cast of characters and also the fact that I'm an adult now, I'm sure I can handle it. So I would love to watch it. But yeah, I have never loved Little Women because I just associate it with, first of all, being asked to read a book in school, which is hardly ever fun. And second, with, like, the total heartbreak of what actually happens. But I love it. And Greta Gerwig, like, how great is she?
Yeah,
how just wonderful is it that she's getting so much success?
Mm-hmm. I was obsessed with the 90s adaptation, and I was talking about this with my brother. We were getting bagels yesterday morning for breakfast, and I was like, do you remember when I was obsessed with Little Women? He's like, yes, because he was a boy, and like, he was like, why don't we have to watch this again? But it was always my turn to pick the movies, and I would go through phases, and there was a Little Women phase. But it's been a while, so I almost kind of feel like maybe I should, you know, do a little tweet stream and tell everybody what I remember about Little Women and then live tweet my rewatch as an adult, because I feel like my thoughts might be a little bit different now. So easy to get caught up in the idea of like what's good that, you know, there's a lot of tragedy in there.
It would be fun, like as a feature, to go back to something like that and be like, what do I actually feel about this now?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Anyway, it sounds good. Okay. So moving on to TV news, we're going to start with something that sucks, although I have to say that we should have all seen it coming. Timeless has been canceled again by NBC. It was renewed originally after being canceled after its first season, but unfortunately, after a very, very, very drawn out waiting period, they have officially canceled it. So it's not coming back for season 3, which is a shame, not only because of that fantastic cliffhanger, but also just because it's a great show and it's a great team. It's one of the only like quote-unquote procedurals that I feel like is exciting enough to stick with. My brother adored it. We just decided to cover it on Hypeable and had been spending a lot of time on that, so that sucks too. But yeah, so you know, they didn't announce its cancellation straight away. Clearly Eric Kripke, the showrunner, and Sean Ryan, also the showrunner, I guess Kripke was the creator, they'd been working, shopping it around, trying to find a way to bring it back, and that did not work out. And there's still kind of vague talks about wrapping it up with a movie, but it doesn't actually look like that's the case. And I'm not honestly, I am not sure there is enough of a market. Like, there is a very passionate fan base on social media, but it's also kind of a small fan base, I think, like smaller than maybe we, it seems. And I don't know, because I would even say maybe they could wrap it up with like a small series of comics, but I'm not sure would be a thing. So R.E.P. Timeless, it's really interesting, I think, in a season where so many things got cancelled and then saved, that Timeless is like the one that didn't, because all of its fellow sort of big cancelled shows like Lucifer and Brooklyn Nine-Nine and The Expanse and a couple of others, like they all got the save treatment that Timeless got last year. But unfortunately, it's out of time. As people have been horribly joking, and now I just made the same horrible joke. I apologize. So yeah, you never started watching it, did you?
I didn't know, but it's still unfortunate for the fans, for sure. And they did such a wonderful job of rallying around the campaign again. So yeah, they didn't go down without a fight.
They didn't. It's interesting, I think, to have seen, just to have followed the fan campaigns around Timeless has been really fascinating.
Yeah, it's really inspiring, honestly.
Yeah.
So, that there's so much passion there.
It is. So the next story in our doc is Watchmen, which is coming to HBO. I actually liked the movie. I know nobody else did, but I did. So I'm excited for the TV adaptation of it. And it has done a bunch of casting recently. Tom Meissen joined the cast of the superhero series. And it has not been announced who he will be playing. Francis Fisher from Titanic and Jacob Ming-Trent from Superfly. I don't know what that is. They've both joined the cast. And most excitingly, Jeremy Irons has also joined the cast. So that's like probably the tentpole name that they're going to use to get fans into this. He's a nice, prestigious actor that lends some cred to what I'm sure they're going to try to make the Game of Thrones of superhero shows. Like, I have no doubt that that is the intention that they're going with. It has Lost's and The Leftovers. Damon Lindelof will be helming it. I feel like I've already seen the show. Like, I don't know if you have the same feeling, but like, I already know exactly what it's going to be. But I'm in for it. I'm into it. I think it's going to be good.
Yeah. Watchmen is like super gritty as a tale too. And I think that David Lindelof's past work definitely lends itself to the idea of this.
Yeah.
I know that they're going to be switching things around. I think like the original is set in like an alternate reality of 1985, but this one's going to be like maybe an alternate reality of present day. So mm-hmm. It should be really like kind of like a fun watch, you know, kind of like Game of Thrones veered a little bit off of the books. This is going to veer a little bit off of the comics, and hopefully everybody's happy with the end result. It's got a really big fan base, and I actually enjoyed the movie too, but yeah. Hopefully people that were not fond of the movie will be happy with HBO's adaptation.
Yeah. I'm keeping an eye on it for sure. And finally, sorry, I have to get used to the fact that it's just me now. This is a series that I cannot believe that this series is happening, but it is, and it's going to be amazing. It's the Bad Boys TV spinoff starring Gabrielle Union and Jessica Alba. It's gotten a series order at Spectrum, which, to be completely honest with you, I have no idea what that is, but I can read from the article that it's a new online streaming platform. And obviously the fact that it's gotten, not only is it Bad Boys 2 character, Sid Burnett, played by Gabrielle Union, but they've also got Jessica Alba in there. Like, these two huge movie stars. Like, I know movie stars have been attracted to television for a few years now, but it's still really cool to see these two in a project together. And they're women of color. They're leading this big action series. Like, there's literally nothing not to like about this project. So I hope that it's good. And that whatever Spectrum is, that I will have access to it.
I also just really like that they named them Sid and Nancy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's just so great.
That is true. I hadn't thought about that. Yeah, because, you know, Nancy, like, McKenna and Sid Burnett. Yeah. Sid and Nancy.
I was just thinking Sid Vicious and Nancy.
Yeah, I get it. That's going to be good. And it's fun. Like, Jessica Alba's character, Nancy, is described as a working mom with a complicated cat past to rival SIDS. And they'll be going head-to-head with the most dangerous criminals in Los Angeles, which is really cool.
I'm down for it.
Same. All right, so that brings us to the end of the news, and we're going to move into TV show of the week. Pam, what do you have?
Oh my God, the bull type is in full swing, and I'm living for every episode. It's so good. There's a new episode that's out tonight as we're recording this. We're recording on, what day is it today? Tuesday?
Yeah.
Tuesday. We're recording on Tuesday. This show just, like, is still so good, and I really appreciate, you know, what they're doing with all of the characters, but, like, specifically Jane, because I think that we've talked about this before, just because of the profession Selena and I are in, we relate to her a little bit more, and season one was really great, and it was really fun to get to know her, but there's no denying that she was very coddled at Scarlett, and now that she's out into the world, she's kind of learning the hard way that you can't just do whatever you want, and, you can't always explain yourself out of situations that are bad. So she's struggling a little bit. And I think that that's good for her. And I love that the show is letting her breathe and they're not wrapping up the struggle in, you know, a matter of a few episodes. So.
Yeah, I totally agree. I only watched the first two episodes, so I'm not caught up with it. But I really like those two, and especially Jane's story and what happened. Like, we did talk last season about how unrealistic it was, I guess, as people who are ourselves struggling with the entertainment industry, to just see her just basically have two dream jobs lined up and having to, like, get headhunted after writing one article.
Right. But also really just, like, being like a featured staff writer and getting like handheld all the time. That's I mean, if you're lucky, you do have a great editor that's collaborative and that helps you flesh out your ideas and makes you better. But a lot of times when you're at such a prestigious magazine and you get to the level that Jane was at in season one, they don't have time to hold your hand anymore. Like, Jacqueline was doing, you know?
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, their relationship was more like intern and mentor. And so, for that reason alone, it was like a little bit hard to swallow sometimes.
It just made me really angry to watch. But yeah, I do really love her as well. And I think that, like, what happened in the first couple of episodes of season two makes it very clear, like you said, that her job is not going to be, or her journey is not going to be easy. And that's okay. Like, it's not that we want her to suck. And I think that there is a bit of wish fulfillment to the bold type that can't be denied. Like, we want it to be good. We want these girls to ultimately get what they want, but we also don't want to feel like they are, making a joke of our profession. So I think they're doing a really good job this season so far, and I can't wait to catch up. Did you have anything else you wanted to say about it?
Only that the music is still really good on this. Yeah. Season. So shout out to Rob Lowry, who saw that I was fangirling over his picks for music and then followed me back on Twitter when I followed him.
Oh, nice.
He's great. He's doing a really great job. And if you're interested in just having all of the bold type music in one place, they do have an official Spotify playlist where you can look up songs that are featured in the episodes.
Awesome. You should interview him. That would be fun.
I'm trying. I don't want to come on too strong. But I think I'm going to slide into his DMs soon. So
good. Sounds good. So the reason that I haven't been watching much, like, other than the fact that I've been traveling and trying to have a holiday. You know what's so funny? Like, just side note, when I went into the writer's office, one of the first things Jason said to me was, like, where's the review of last week's episode? And I was like, I'm trying to have a holiday. Oh my God.
So I love then that I had he to, like keeps up and reads them. I feel like if I were a writer, I would want to stay away. You know, I would appreciate from afar.
Yeah, I know he reads reviews. I wasn't sure he read mine, but now I know, because he was stressed that it hadn't gone out. He was like, does it mean you didn't like the episode? And I was like, no, I'm just on holiday. Anyway, so I have actually been super distracted, because I, over the past 2 weeks, have fallen completely in love with Shadowhunters. I am gone, and I cannot believe that I discovered the show when it's canceled. Like, I don't know what to do with myself right now. But yeah, so I had downloaded a bunch of episodes on Netflix to watch on my trip. And I ended up watching like most of season one just over there. Like I didn't watch anything else. I just watched Shadowhunters and it was so addictive. And a lot of the stuff in season one, I've talked to people who are like, no, season one is not that good. Season two is way better. But I gotta be honest, I really liked season one. I really liked the world they set up, you know, as everyone knows. Well, maybe not everyone knows, but most people know that it's originally once upon a time based on a Harry Potter fanfic. So there's like certain elements of Harry, Ginny, the magical world. You can see what parts were adapted and that's kind of fun. But the characters in there are for the most part just really enjoyable. And honestly, my favorite thing about Shadowhunters, beyond the shadow hunting itself and all this magical stuff, is how good of a job they do with establishing every single character's relationship with every other character. That's like the one thing that makes me invested in a show, is if the characters care about each other, then I care about the characters. So in Shadowhunters, it's really great because even beyond the romances that are there, everyone is friends. Like everyone, and there's little journeys for each of them to become friends. So something like Clary, who's the main character, and Alec, who is one of the Shadowhunters, they have a really tumultuous relationship at first. And they get to be friends, but it's not like unconditionally we're best friends now. Like it's complicated and it's fraught with all this tension. And Alec's sister Isabel, who's actually maybe the one character I'd never heard of before I started the show, she's my absolute favorite. She is amazing. She's just like the ultimate kick-ass warrior. Like she's so sweet. She's so like, it's the character, someone described her to me as like the Raven of Shadowhunters, like the Hundred's Raven for Shadowhunters, and that makes so much sense. And her and Izzy have like this wonderful relationship that makes me like really yearn for a relationship like that between Clark and Raven, actually. They're just such good friends. And Malik, obviously the relationship between Magnus and Alec is like the one thing you know about Shadowhunters, even if you've never seen Shadowhunters. And first of all, Magnus is probably, aside from Isabel, my favorite character, played by Harry Shum. I was not expecting to love him for some reason before I started watching. I had this idea that he was evil because I thought the Shadowhunters were good. But he's not. He's like the opposite of evil. He's so wonderful. And none of these people deserve Magnus. Like, I've joined the, like, protection squad for this character. I love him so much. And that relationship is probably the best LGBT relationship that has ever been on TV. Like, I know they had a lot of fans, but I just, you know, like, how you kind of, when you're not in a fandom, you just kind of tend to, oh, it's like, it's one of those. Like, it's...
Yeah, it's like background noise.
Right. It's like the fandom is bigger than the ship, usually, especially for LGBT ships, especially for male LGBT ships, for sure. So I just wasn't expecting it to genuinely be this good. And that relationship, like the way it's handled, the kind of conflicts they have, is just, it's so gripping and it's so shippable in a way that's just really enjoyable. And then also Alec is a really good character, and he has this really intimate friendship bond with one of the other male characters that's not romantic at all. And I just think that's so well done, you know? And they both have like really in-depth relationship with all the other characters. And Clary, like, even though she and Jace are kind of like the main relationship, I'm not super into that. Don't tell anyone. I don't love it. But even then, she has like really good relationships with like all the other characters. There's a really good dad figure in there. Like, I'm a sucker for adopted dads or whatever you call them. So that like ticks that box for me. And I just love it so much. And I'm almost done. I think I'm like halfway through season three already, or like 3A, because 3B hasn't aired yet and might not air until 2019. And then there might not be any more. So I'm distressed, but happy. I've had a lot of jet lag since coming home, so I've like been watching a lot of Shadowhunters instead of sleeping.
I like that Shadowhunters could be there for you.
I know. It's just, you know, like the feeling when you discover a show that has like a couple of seasons for you to binge and you just instantly are like, okay, I actually want to look at this and not look at my phone. That's like the best feeling. So yeah, I recommend Shadowhunters. I remember when I was making the decision between the Magicians and Shadowhunters, and I went with the Magicians. And I'm sorry, that was the wrong choice. Like, I watched The Magicians out of, like, a sense of obligation. And one day I will go back and watch season three, because everyone says season three is much better. But it's just comparing the two of them. It's like, okay, Shadowhunters is my show. Like, no offense to Magicians, but this is the show I like. So I'm glad I found it. You haven't seen it, I'm guessing, since your
Shadowhunters?
Silence. Yeah.
I've seen a few episodes of it, but I think it was hard for me to get into at the time. I have a lot of friends that are super into the show, though, so I don't know. It just, like, you know how sometimes you start something and you're like, I'm not in the headspace for this, and I feel like I might like it more if I give it a better shot. So I just kind of, like, let it go. But I did, a controversial opinion, I actually did kind of enjoy the movie with Lily Collins, and
I never saw the movie.
Okay. I did it as somebody who's never read the books. I couldn't really get into the books. I enjoyed the film just for what it was. So but I know that, like, the reason that for book fans Shadowhunters is so interesting is because they are able to expand on some of the stuff that occurs in the spinoffs. I think that was what one of my friends was telling me. So, so not necessarily like Shadowhunters, that I think it's like not a trilogy, but, you know, like there's a few other, like, offshoots of it. I think somebody was explaining to me. So that's kind of cool that they're able to kind of bring in those plot points and kind of create a cohesive narrative and just give the characters more to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's the end of TV show of the week. And we're going to end with some listener feedback. We have quite a bit to get into, which is great. As I said at the top of the show, we love hearing from you guys. So Pam, take the first one away. Hashtag comma the first one.
Jasmine says, regarding YouTube Let's Plays, I absolutely love At The Rad Brad, just the chill dude who loves playing video games. I think I actually found his channel when looking for The Last of Us live plays. I'm currently watching him play Detroit Detroit Become Human, and it's amazing. I am not, like, a big video game player, but I have heard great things about Detroit, so I could see why you're into this, because people are obsessed with this game right now.
Mm-hmm. Shauna? Now I'm, like, torn, because Shayna, our hypeable Shayna, she destroyed my confidence in how to pronounce this name. Shayna says, now this is a Charmed reboot I'm down for. She linked to the A Discovery of Witches trailer, which is one of the things we did not talk about this week, but which we could have, because it does look really, really good. And I agree. Like, I've talked enough bad about the Charmed reboot, so this is a positive thing that I hope people watch. A Discovery of Witches.
Jessica sent us some The 100 fan videos. She said, hey girls, I know that you both have The 100 and need to share these two wonderful videos by Y Ariel Y. The first one is Clark centric and the other one is Blake sibling centric. Hope you like them. I haven't had a chance to watch these, but I'm going to.
Yes, thank you so much. I adore fan videos for The 100, especially when they get recommended to me, because then I know they're good before I watch them. And I watched the Clark one and it was good. I just love Clark so much, so thank you. Laura says, so maybe starting Secret Circle at 11 p.m. on a work night was not my best life choice, but I know the show is super short in length, but maybe the witch show to cure my Buffy hangover. She also says, I finally saw Jurassic World and I actually really enjoyed it. I am a tad behind on episodes, but excited to hear your thoughts. Maybe we can talk about Jurassic World next week, or make it a bonus or something.
Have you seen it?
No, it's between that and Ant-Man this week. So.
Ooh, okay. I have seen Jurassic World and I will see Ant-Man. So I'll leave that up to you and we'll see what happens next week.
Okay. I forget, Laura, if you hadn't seen The Secret Circle before. I feel like your tweet indicates that you hadn't, in which case I want to hear all your thoughts. Because we both love that show.
Stephanie says, catching up on hype, and Selena, if you can make it to season 3 of The Magicians, I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. Quentin gets much better and the format becomes an ensemble. This feel is like what everybody keeps telling you.
Yeah, and I think feel like we might have read this tweet already, Stephanie, but you get another go. Yes, I will. One day. Tucker says, I actually really liked 13 Reasons Why Season 2. My only concern is that they wrapped up the Clay Hannah stuff really well this season, in my opinion. And with no Catherine Langford in Season 3, I'm not sure where they will go with the story. I guess this will be their transition year where it's no longer about Hannah at all, or maybe it's about her memory or something like that.
Right. It's I think maybe it turns into an anthology like American Horror Story.
Yeah, could be. Yeah. And we have a couple of emails. We have 3 emails to get to this week. So if you get the first one from Allison, I never planned this, but it always works out so that you get the most emails. And I think that's beautiful.
All right. Cool. Allison says, just like processing what you just said. That's so funny. Anyway, Allison says, hi, girls. I have been meaning to email recently. I really do miss the comment section. Us too. Hint, hint. Andrew Sims. but I find myself with a thought on nearly everything you cover, so I try to keep my emails coherent. First, a quick comment on the 100. Is Justice for Harper a thing yet? Because it should be. I would appreciate if they stopped acting like she hasn't been around since season 1. Also, I know they said we would be getting some flashbacks. I really hope those are coming soon. Also, I have a book recommendation. Seems fitting since Selena's struggling through Throne of Glass. It's The Red Rising series by Pierce Brown. It's honestly the best series I've read since Harry Potter, filled with amazingly complex characters and a story that becomes very difficult to put down. There are 4 books total with more to come. I feel like this is a series you girls would fly through. Keep up the great work. I love listening every week. Allison L. I actually have a copy of Red Rising and I've never gotten around to reading it, but I know that this is one of those buzzworthy reads that everybody's obsessed with. So
yeah, I gotta be honest, I read the first one and I didn't love it too much. I don't even really remember why. I didn't find it too enjoyable, but maybe I gave up too soon. I will say, though, that I'm actually really enjoying the book of Throne of Glass that everyone hates. So maybe it's like the best book yet. So I don't know what's happening to me. And about Justice for Harper, it's been better in this past couple of episodes. I think she's improved in terms of she actually speaks and people actually hear what she's saying, so we can stop speculating that she's a ghost. I don't know how much we can expect. I think that justification is that they gave her a bigger storyline last season, so this season they're focusing on Monty and she's kind of playing support to him, which I mean you can you don't have to think that's awesome, but I think that's kind of what their thinking is. I love her though. Matthew Potter, who is a longtime listener, we always appreciate hearing from him. He says, hey, Selena and Pam, I was listening to episode 190, and when you were talking about watching Let's Plays, it made me think of my semi-newfound love of TV reactions on YouTube. They're essentially Let's Plays, but for television. The discussion of enjoying the banter really sparked the connection for me. One of my favorite aspects of reactions is that with copyright law, they're only allowed to include 10 minutes of the footage itself. Oftentimes, they'll include more of just audio, but this makes watching reactions like rewatching some of your favorite shows with commentary from pseudo-online friends. Plus, you get all the best bits. It also means you can fly through a whole season much more quickly. Some of my favorites would be The Normies, American Mom, Ses Cassay's, Hogwarts Reacts, and Fear of Reactions 2.0. Engaging with the different personalities reacting and hearing their alternate perspectives is quite fun. And there's an odd, maybe sadistic joy in seeing people watching shocking moments like Game of Thrones, Doctor Who, etc. for the first time. I just thought I would write in case you two or any listeners think it might be something they'd enjoy. Love the show. Miss you, Selena, on Game of Thrones. Aw, thank you. And loving the addition of Pam on Millennial. Glad hype is always a fun and engaging listen. Regards, Matt Potter at Tokomasho on Twitter. I don't know why that my voice stopped working by the end of that. But yes, thank you so much. That's actually, there's a bunch of Let's Watch for the 100. And I really like them. I haven't watched too many of them. I don't know why. I find it hard. You have to find the ones that aren't too theatrical, though. I think with the games, I think people find it harder to sort of be too fake when they have to actually focus on the game, so their reactions are more genuine, whereas I think I've watched a couple of Let's React or Let's Watch or whatever they're called, where it's just screaming and throwing themselves on the floor, like constantly, like not sometimes. Sometimes it's super fun, and some of the 100 ones do it too, and they're really fun, but it also just gets too much for me, so I... it's like an energy level that I cannot aspire to reach.
I've never seen any of these, but I there is a guy named Dr. Mike on YouTube as well. He's like the quote-unquote hot doctor, and he's very attractive, I'm not going to lie. Okay. But he does Real Doctor Reacts too, and then like goes through all the medical dramas. And I think those are really fun because it's just like, I feel like that's kind of like what we do with the bold type. So it's just really fun to get the perspective from somebody who's actually in that industry if you're talking about like kind of more realistic dramas. So
yeah,
I think those are really fun, and he's like very easy on the eyes, so you know it's a win-win. yeah, thanks for your email, Matt, and I love that you are still supporting us. That's really sweet. Yeah. And that you support us across other podcasts as well. It means a lot. And I'm next. We have an email as well here from Jacqueline, who says, so every time I hear the 100 news on the podcast, I would skip ahead or not listen closely because there was a chance I would start watching the series. I was hesitant because it sounded a bit corny, and I don't love CW shows too often. Just a few weeks ago, I was nearing the end of my 12-week maternity leave and figured I had binged watched so many things, why not finally start the show you all talk about so much? It only took about 2 weeks, and I was up to the newest season. As a 35-year-old mother of two lovely girls, I felt a bit surprised by how much I enjoyed the show. I was worried it wouldn't connect with the 30-something. I don't know if it's due to my insane binge watching, but I felt like the characters just went through too much too often. I found myself wishing that there was just an episode or two where they didn't almost die or get tricked again. So the storylines seem to repeat a bit, but in the end, I've really enjoyed the show. The characters are pretty good. I'm not a fan with the current season's developments for Abby or the spoiler timeline jump, but I'll definitely keep watching. I need to know what happens next. I really just want a happy ending. Is that too much to ask? Thanks for the great podcast and keep it up. Well,
yes.
She's on maternity leave, right? Jacqueline, yeah. I hope if you've had your baby, it all went well. Congratulations.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you like the show.
I'm glad you like it too. And I totally agree with you. I feel like the show is so fast paced sometimes, and it's I really enjoyed the time jump and Eden, because that was like the first time in a really long time that the characters genuinely have just sat around and done nothing, which was really refreshing. But I don't think we can expect too much of that. Although when I went to the writer's room, I did see one of their, they have like little fake titles for the season 6 episodes up. And I posted an image of this as well. And one of them is basically the characters just sit around talking to each other. And that one got me and everyone on Twitter really excited. So I, you know, crossing fingers. Stick around. There might be a season 6 episode that does this. I'm glad you liked it. I'm glad. I totally agree. It's funny with shows like The 100 that you hear them. It's kind of like how I felt about Shadowhunters. Like you hear about them and you see the pictures and reactions and things, and you just think, like people probably like something about the show that doesn't connect to me. And then you watch it, and then it's just like a genuinely good story. And I think that beyond everything else, that's what The 100 has going for it. It's genuinely good characters. It's a genuinely interesting story that they're telling. And they're actually, this season more than previous seasons, I would say they're actively trying to make some points about humanity and about the cyclical nature of violence, or, you know, us versus them, all that sort of stuff. And they're putting it on a little thick sometimes, but I think it's necessary. I think they're really trying to make a statement about people and society. So I really appreciate that. And I'm glad that you are watching it now and kind of, it's true. It's those first couple of episodes really made it seem like a teen show, and it's really not a teen show. So, all right. So That brings us to the end of the episode. Thank you so much to everyone for listening. And we will be back next week with episode 192. As always, if you do want to send in feedback, like all of the lovely listeners, oh my gosh, all of the lovely listeners that did this week, you can email us, hype@hypeable.com, and you can tweet us at hypeablehype. We also have a Patreon, which is patreon.com/hype. podcast, where you can subscribe for $2 a month to get a bonus segment every week. This week's bonus segment is actually going to be an extended news discussion because there has been a lot. We've been away for a couple of weeks and we do want to spend some more time on some stories that we didn't get to in the main show. And everyone who subscribes for $2 a month can listen to that as soon as it is uploaded. You also get a video from each of us a month. And you are eligible to participate in the giveaway that we announced at the top of the show. We will have three sort of fun goodie bags from SDCC to give away. And if you're a Patreon subscriber, then you have a chance to win all three. And if you're not, then you still have a chance to win one of them. And you can find all that those details when we have them up. We'll let you guys know. All right. So see you guys next week. Have a wonderful week. And let us know what you're doing in fandom if you so desire. My name is Selena.
And my name is Pamela.
Bye, guys.
Bye.